What a blessing it's been to have the Bennett here for the week again this Friday night, and so appreciate again that we can be in the Lord's house. Rules about Friday night is we shouldn't have to go to work tomorrow, so you can preach till midnight tonight, brothers. No, you're going to have to quit before Max closes at 10 o'clock, I think. So. Praise the Lord.
Get out of here so we can have ice cream.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And Friday night, I was going to take it easy on you tonight. But he said I could preach till midnight.
He didn't say anybody else was going to be here.
That's midnight London time.
Tracy.
That's for the Y.
Dave.
J.
Cranmer. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Very seldom do I put a person down twice. Dang. Well, amen. My daughter-in-law doesn't come to our church. Of course, we're 2 hours from them, so it's understandable she doesn't come to our church much. But when she does come to our church, she always accuses me of playing or singing the most obscure hymns in the hymnal, and she says, "Is this obscure hymn Sunday?" And I just told my wife, I says, Kelly ought to be here. And let's say she thinks I pick obscure hymns. Wow, there was two of them I'd never heard before. Okay. Yeah, okay.
800 songs today.
Well, you got to get through them all, don't you?
Yeah, we're trying.
All right. 2 Peter, if you will. The book of 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Once you get there, if you will stand with me, we'll read verse 4. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. Says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for this time that we can gather in your house. And what a blessing it is to be here on a Friday night. And Lord, I just ask that you will use this old preacher one more time. Give us exactly what we need, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice here in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. I'm not even sure we can understand the magnitude of this. Exceeding great and precious promises. What on earth does that mean? Well, these are promises that we certainly can count on. These are promises that maybe we don't even understand. These are promises that will certainly be kept. These are promises that are just many times unbelievable. And when you go out into this world and you talk about the precious promises from the Word of God, people don't understand it. And they look at you like, you're the man from Mars when you mention things like this. But we have exceeding great and precious promises. Standing on the promises. Well, I'll tell you what, we need to stand on these promises. I want to take the word promise, and we'll divide it up, and I hope I spell it right, and we're just going to have a good time tonight, okay? I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm not preaching against anything. I'm just preaching tonight the promises of God, and I'm so thankful that I've got a God that's promised me things. I'm glad I don't have Buddha to follow. I don't have to do that. I don't have. I'm glad I'm not into the Hindu religion with 30,000 gods, and I'm glad that I don't have to work to be reincarnated in a higher plane and get to Nirvana somehow. I'm glad I don't have to do that, and I'm certainly glad I don't have a work salvation where I have to work my way to heaven. One of these days I'm going to walk through the gates of glory because of what Jesus Christ did, not because of what I did. And I'll be able to walk the streets of gold. I was preaching one time about the streets of gold and glory, and I was corrected by a preacher. He says it's a street of gold. I'm not going to argue about that. If you want to drop that S, that's fine with me. But I'm looking forward to being on a street of gold. Amen. I will argue with the new versions about mansions. I'm going to have a mansion in glory. They can have their cubicle or apartment or whatever else they might call it. But I'm looking forward to a mansion. All right, let's talk about this. Notice here in verse 4, it's their precious promises. The P in promise, precious. And Titus 1 in verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie,
amen,
promised before the world began. Promised. Wow, in hope of eternal life that God promised. Somebody say, you believe in eternal life? Yeah? Yeah? I do, because God promised it. And God cannot lie. Now, I want you to stop and think with me just a second. God has a treasure chest. And that treasure chest is filled with promises. And all we have to do is open the treasure chest. And all we have to do is go through there and just look at the promises and accept them and receive those promises. Now here's the treasure chest right here. It's called the Bible.
Amen.
And you know what? It's not even locked. All we have to do is open it. And almost every page that we go to, there's a promise. And you know what? In hope, Titus 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised, underline that 600 times, promised before the world began. Before the world was even in existence, before even man walked upon this earth, or before he was even created, God was promising way back then. Can you imagine such a thing? All we have to do is open the treasure chest. Oh, look at the promises. You know what? I read a book with something like 30,000 promises in the Bible. 30,000. I don't know. You know, this guy come up with promises. I don't know how many there really are, but there's a lot of them here.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know they're all ours. They're there for us to receive. They're there for us to make a part of our life. You know what? If you really believe in eternal life, it's a promise of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I've had some debates in my time with people that believe you can lose your salvation. And usually, you know, you get to this point where you say, well, what does everlasting mean? And do you realize they can't actually come up with a why they don't accept that? They just shake their head. I have a cousin that's an Assembly God pastor. I mean, he's in another denomination. And they believe you can lose your salvation. We've had debates, and I ask him this, what is everlasting life? What is eternal life? And he shakes his head and blames us Baptists for it. But the fact of the matter is, it's not Baptist, it's the Bible. And the Word of God says we can have everlasting life and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It's a promise of God. I just reached out one day and received the promise. But as many as received Him. Have you received the promises? Open up the treasure chest. There it is. All those promises are there. Grab them. You know what? I cannot tell you how many times in the Bible you find prayer. Now, I cannot tell you how many times it's in there. But almost every time I know that prayer is talked about, there's a promise that goes along with it. Amen. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Well, man alive, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. What promises! The promises. All we have to do is reach out and take them. But yet we act like we haven't got a promise in the world. We act like we're on our last leg. We act like we're being beaten to death. We act like we were drug into church on the back of a car hooked to a chain hooked to our ankle. We were drug all the way. And now we're in church and oh. And the preacher just told the preacher he could preach till midnight. Oh, boy, I hope he didn't take that seriously. You know, and we act like there's no promises there. And then you go and talk to people. Do you pray? Do you have a prayer life? Well, that's one of the things I really struggle with in my life. I really don't have a prayer life. What? And you got all those promises? Call unto me and I will answer thee. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land. It's no wonder our land's in the condition it's in because people won't take the promise. And they won't start doing what God wants them to do. It's precious promises. This treasure chest is filled with. All we have to do is just read them and receive them. That's all we have to do. The promises are real. The promises are real. Look, if you will, hold your finger there. Well, no, don't. Mark that second, Peter. We're coming back to that someday. But go over here to Matthew, if you will. And go down here to Matthew chapter 6. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. But look all the way down here in verse 33. Now, you probably know this by heart. But look all the way down. It's almost to the end of the chapter because verse 34 is the end of the chapter. Verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you're going to read this, you'd find out we're talking about clothing, we're talking about housing, we're talking about all the things that we need in life, and we're chewing our fingernails wondering how we're going to supply it. When He's given us a promise, if we just seek Him first, He'll add all these things. We're anxious and worried about a lot of things, but these are real things we're talking about. All these things. This is not something that you know, up here, oh, I can't grab. No, this is something that we reach out and take. This is something we go to the grocery store and we take off the shelf. This is something we go down to the lumber yard and pick up. This is something we go to the clothing store and buy. This is something that we have that's real. It's like the car out there. You ever thought, what would I do without a car? How would I get around? Where could I go without a car? See, we're a country that's built on mobility. That's the way the United States was built. You know, in certain parts of the world, if gas goes up to $5 a gallon, people stop driving. They ride bicycles. They do other things to get where they're going. In the United States of America, gas goes up to $5 a gallon. We figure out how we can pay for the gas so we can get where we're going. It doesn't keep our cars in the garage at all. We go anyhow. See, America is a land of ingenuity. We use what God has given us, regardless of the cost. That's what makes America great. is we trust the Lord for everything that we do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things. Even $5 gas. Well, I hope it doesn't get that high, but even $5 gas. He'll supply. Do you believe that? You see, that's something that we can reach out and take. That's the things. All these things. Now, think about this as we go over here to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Notice what it says here. Philippians chapter 4. And it says down here in verse 19. But my God shall supply some of your need according to His riches and glory. Is that what that said? No, it says all. To supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, He's given us a promise that most of us say, oh, I'm a Bible believer, but we don't believe that. We really don't believe that God will supply all our need. We don't lay our need out to Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In the same chapter, look back here in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. The word careful means worried, anxious about. So don't be worried about anything, but in everything. Well, what does everything mean? All.
Amen.
See? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in answer to the prayer that you're praying back here in verse 6, because you're not going to worry about it. You're going to give everything to Him. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do you have that peace? Well, it's because you gave all the burdens to Him. You've given Him all the worries and all the cares that you used to carry around, but now you trust Him. You're taking the promises of God, and you are putting it into your use in your life, and realize, listen, God is far greater than I am. God can accomplish what's impossible for me is not impossible for God. God can accomplish something where I can't. And see, I'm going to take that promise, and I'm going to say, Lord, I've been worried about this for a long time. But here it is. I lay it at your feet. Lord, please. You've given me these promises. And I am reaching out and I'm taking these promises. See, I opened the treasure chest. And there it is. He says, don't worry about it. Because I'm a great God. And I can supply all your need. Those are the real things. Those are the things that we need. That's the food for the table. That's the clothes on our back. That's the roof over our head. That's the car that we drive. That's the gas that's in the car. That's the oil in the engine. All those things I can supply. All those things. Do you believe that? Oh, we're Bible believers, but when it comes down to reality, we think, well, you better trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Because if you lean into your own understanding, what happens? You get in trouble. Because our own understanding is limited. God is infinite. We're not. Okay. All right. The O. Go back here to 2 Peter chapter 1. The O and promise is obtainable. Obtainable. Now I'm going to show you something here, and I promise we won't be here till midnight, but it'd be about 10 minutes till or so. But notice what it says here in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Obtained. See, the promises of God are obtainable. Titus 1:2. in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Obtained. In other words, it's obtainable. You can receive this. You can get it. I don't know. Look, if you will, back here. Mark that. I think we're coming back to 2 Peter. We might not. So you might be wasting your time to mark it, but that doesn't matter. Mark it anyhow. Look in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And notice what it says. Hebrews chapter 9, down here in verse 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. Not many times. In other words, the mass where they put him to death again every time they partake of the elements. That's not what we do. He once into the holy place. Now notice it says, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's obtainable in hope of eternal life. That promise, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's a promise. And you can obtain it. It's like precious faith. You can obtain it. It's not by what you did, it's by what he did. Did you notice what this says? It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered it once under the holy temple, holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's through what he did, not what we did. And it's obtainable. It's for us. Well, I don't know. When you get home, you might get this. And you'll start shouting and think, wow, that was pretty good stuff. And it is good stuff. Why? Because it's the promise. Listen, this is the treasure chest. I just opened it up. And there it is. Obtained eternal redemption for us. Wow. He did it for me. All I have to do is receive the promise. Sometimes I just stand in awe of the promises. And think, he was thinking about me when he gave that promise. He was thinking about you when he gave that promise. Do you understand how great God is? Do you understand this? Now, the way I understand it, there's about 9 billion people on earth right now. Now, whether that's an accurate figure, I don't know how they figured that out. But there are 9 billion people. Now, that's not talking about all the people that have lived prior to this time. I mean, we're talking about a bunch of people. But God took the time to think about each individual. And he obtained eternal redemption for each one. Now somebody say, oh no, I'm a Calvinist, I don't believe that. Well, you can be deceived all you want to, but he did it for everyone. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That means currently the 9 billion people on this earth could all be saved if they obtained what God has done for them. All they have to do is reach out and take the promise. All they have to do is open the treasure chest and read it and accept it. That's all they have to do. The M. There are many promises. Many promises. I'm just scratching the surface when it comes to promises. There are many promises. And I got to tell you something. I get excited when I read Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, seek, knock. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Well, I tell you what, I could stop there and just praise God. You cannot imagine how many times I've asked him for something. You cannot imagine how many times I've begged God for something. And folks, I want you to understand something. He gives. He keeps his promises. You know, sometimes you don't get what you want right then. And sometimes that's for our good. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes. It's always for our good because his timing is always right. So I want you to think about this. Look, if you will, back here in the book of Psalms. There are many. Look at Psalms and go to the 40th Psalm. The 40th Psalm. These are the exceeding great and precious promises. There's many of them. Here in Psalm 40 and verse 5. It says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Think of the promises. These promises that are in the Word of God, there's more of them there than we can number. Some guy can write a book about 30,000 all he wants to, but there's more than that. Read them. It's there in the treasure chest. All you have to do is read it and accept the promises. God has given us all these precious promises, and there's so many of them. His thought, look if you will, over here in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I love Psalm 139. And notice what it says here in verse 17. Verse 17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Look at verse 18. "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee." Than the sand. I mean, my daughter used to live in Delaware, and we used to go to the beach. And one of the things I enjoyed to do was take my shoes and socks off and walk through the sand. And have it go up through your toes. And, you know, it's kind of silly, but I enjoyed it. And you know something? I can't imagine anybody trying to count the granules of sand. What a waste of time that would be. There's no way you could count the granules of sand. But yet the Bible tells us his thoughts are that many towards us. The promises are many. Just, there they are. Right there in the treasure chest that we call the Bible. Receive the promises. Look, if you will, there's always an if, by the way. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice down here in verses 11 through 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Verse 12. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." What's that mean? Well, that means he can't break his promises. He can't break his promises. We can. Why? Because we're just mere human beings. And many times the promises and the vows that we make don't mean anything. They are meaningless. You know, I've made promises to God that I've broken. How many of you done? Don't raise your hand. But I'm pretty sure almost all of us have made a vow to God that we've broken. If you just get me out of this, I'll do this and this and this. And then we found out that this and this and this is too hard to do. And so, God, you understand, I'm just a mere human being. And, well, wait a minute, I made a promise. But you know something? God makes promises, and he's not going to break those promises. He can't deny himself. If he would break a promise, you know what that would make him? A liar. And then the Word of God would be of none effect, and we could throw it out the window and say, why are we here? Why do we even go to church? Because if this isn't true, there's nothing for us to stand on. If the foundation's destroyed, we have nothing to lean on. We have nothing to build on. If the foundation's destroyed, we might as well go live it up just like the world does. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We can go out there and do whatever we want to do. The fact of the matter is, we've got the promises. And God's not going to lie. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If we can't believe that, then folks, I want you to understand something. Let's quit. You know, you go clear back there to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everything's built upon that verse, believe it or not. If that verse is not true, there's nothing else in this Bible that's true. You can't believe John 3:16 if you can't believe Genesis 1:1. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a lie if Genesis 1:1 is not true. God said He cannot lie. So any Christian that'll come along and say, or anybody that'll come along and say, that, well, God didn't create the earth. It was in a big blob out there, and somehow it all blew up, and everything just fell into place. Well, that's a lie.
Amen.
If we can't believe Genesis 1, we can't believe John 3. And if we can't believe Genesis 1, we can't accept anything else in the Word of God. Folks, we've got something to stand on, and this foundation is called the Bible. And that Bible is a treasure chest that's full of promises from God. And we build the from the foundation of Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. And then John 3:16, for God. It's all about God and His promises. He's not going to deny Himself. You know, we can fail God, but mark it down, He can't fail us. All right? Just mark it down, underline it 600 times. Then the S in promises is we have a shepherd. Psalm 23:1. Look if you will. I want you, you can quote it, I know. Don't worry about that. Just go to it. Psalm 23 and verse 1. I'm sorry? Did I? Yeah, that was if. If we deny Him, He can't deny us.
We were waiting for a big word. Well, we were just saying that you were like super smart. We didn't
Dave and Dave. That was three times for you, buddy. You're all right. All right. Let's focus now. Okay, focus. I've lost control again. I don't know how I did it. The S is shepherd. Shepherd. Okay? The S. Think about this. Look at here, verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is that a promise?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Look at the next verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is just one promise right after another.
Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. Wow. Why? Because I have a shepherd. I've opened the treasure chest. Wait. It's not creaking anymore. Oh, there. Open the treasure chest and understand these promises. I shall not want. And then think of this. Green pastures. Oh, it's all before us there. And the still waters. All of this is the promise of God. Now, if you will, in the same vein, we got the same shepherd over here in John chapter 10. John, the Gospel of John chapter 10. And notice what it says here. This is great stuff, by the way. John chapter 10. I get so excited about preaching that nobody else gets excited but me. I'm up here jumping around and nobody's... All right. Notice what it says. In John chapter 10, verse 11. This is Jesus. He's talking now. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Do you realize this is a promise of God that we... How can I word this? We are His life's work.
Amen.
He says He gives His life for the sheep. We are His life's work. That's a promise from the Word of God. Boy, all we got to do is open the treasure chest. It's right there. The E. And we'll close with this. Look, if you will, in the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. It says here in James chapter 1, I'm glad you can't see this because I misspelled promise. Every promise is good. It says here in verse 17 of James chapter 1, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every promise is good. I tell you what, it doesn't get any better than that. Listen, we've got the treasure chest right here. And all we have to do is open it up and just receive the promises. What are the promises I can gain today from the Word of God? You just look for the promises when you study the Word of God. What's He saying to me today? What's He giving me today? What's He going to help me with today? What promise am I going to receive today? Let's stand very quietly. Lord, we do love You. We thank You for all You've done for us. I pray, dear God, that You'll do a work right now. Help us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 598. I think it's 598. I got something written down here. Standing on the promises. It is. I got the right number. It's not the number of the book we've got, but this number is 598. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Well, amen. Thank you. Preacher, you'll come.
All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message tonight. Appreciate the promises. Great and precious promises. I had one of those Precious Promise Bibles. I had, those 64,000 you mentioned. Promises outlined. All right, praise the Lord. Appreciate again each one coming out tonight. And boy, it's good to be saved. Let's go ahead and just dismiss our service tonight with thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask our assistant pastor to close us in prayer.
Brother Heavenly Tracy. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you so much for salvation.
Thank you,
Lord. We thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for every promise in it. And I pray, Lord, you continue to bless the Bennetts, give them a safe.
Thank you, Lord.
And uneventful trip home. Bless their ministry and bless their family. I pray, Lord, you bless us as we leave. And I pray, Lord, that we would hold everything we heard this week in our heart and we apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, bless you tonight.